tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program we are going to discuss the mindset that some of us tend to have, and that is be part of the solution and not the problem. Yes. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, before we continue with our topic of discussion for today, let's remind one another to recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in his beautiful hadith that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, throughout our lives we often find ourselves embracing either a positive or negative outlook. You may find people that are solution seeking. And at times you may encounter negative people who are adverse to positive thinking. You'll find themselves problem seeking or continuing with a problem seeking behavior. They are chronically like that, and they have become like that over time. The opinions of the intellectuals and the collective experiences demonstrate that maintaining a positive mindset enables a life devoid of stress and anxiety. Yes, those who are positive thinking, you'll least often see them that they are going through a stress or they are going through an anxiety. Conversely, somebody with a problem-seeking mind, with a negative mindset, leads to constant concern. And the topic of thinking and correcting others will be, inshallah, explored further as we discuss this topic, inshallah, azza wa jal. Before that, we are going to listen to a beautiful kalam. Kaaba dikha de maula, Kaaba dikha de maula, subhanallah, beautiful kalam. And after that, we'll be back and discuss our topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kaaba dikha de maula, Kaaba dikha de maula, Mushtaq nazar purnam hai palak, Mushtaq nazar purnam hai palak, Allah dikha Kaabe ki jhalak, Tarta hu nazar ashkon ki chamak, Tarta hu nazar ashkon ki chamak, Allah dikha Kaabe ki jhalak, Allah dikha Kaabe ki jhalak,
Kaabe ki tajalli dil pe pade, Sab mail mere dil ke yudhule, काबे की तजल्ली दिल पे पड़े सब मैल मेरे दिल के युधुले सब मैल मेरे दिल के युधुले दिल नूर से तेरे जाए चमक दिल नूर से तेरे जाए चमक
अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पूर्णम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक
वर्ग जगह भर का काबा मंसर भी सुहाना है इसका मह वर्ग जहां भर का काबा मंजर भी सुहाना है इसका मंजर भी सुहाना है इसका
है इस पे फिदा सब इंसो मलक है इस पे फिदा सब इंसो मलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पूर्णम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की
جھلک کرتا ہو نظر اشکوں کی چمک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک
میں حج بھی کروں عمرہ بھی کروں اللہ مدینے میں ہی مروں میں حج بھی کروں عمرہ بھی کروں اللہ مدینے میں ہی مروں اللہ مدینے میں ہی مروں
مولا تو دکھا تیبا کی سڑک
مولا تو دکھا تیبا کی سڑک
اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک مشتاق نظر پرنم ہے پلک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک کرتا ہو نظر اشکوں کی چمک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک
جب پہلی نظر کعبے پہ پڑے دکھ درد سبھی دامن سے جڑے جب پہلی نظر کعبے پہ پڑے دکھ درد سبھی دامن سے جڑے دکھ درد سبھی دامن سے جڑے
اور دل سے مٹے عشیاں کا تلک
اور دل سے مٹے عشیاں کا تلک
اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک مشتاق نظر پرنم ہے پلک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک کرتا ہو نظر اشکوں کی چمک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک
مدت سے کمال اپنی ہے دعا جب سامنے روزے کے ہوں کھڑا مدت سے کمال اپنی ہے دعا جب سامنے روزے کے ہوں کھڑا جب سامنے روزے کے ہوں کھڑا دکھ جائے مجھے آقا کی جھلک دکھ جائے مجھے آقا کی جھلک
اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک مشتاق نظر پرنم ہے پلک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک کرتا ہو نظر اشکوں کی چمک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک مشتاق نظر پرنم ہے پلک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک کرتا ہو نظر اشکوں کی چمک اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک
اللہ دکھا کعبے کی جھلک
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹیویوز. الحمدللہ یو آر واچنگ دا سلسلہ ڈائمینشنز آف اسلامک لائف. الحمدللہ ایز وی ہیو بگن آور ڈسکشن اباؤٹ دی ہیونگ دا مائنڈ سیٹ آف سولوشن سیکنگ رادر دین بی مرس in problems and negative thinking. Positive thinking brings about numerous benefits and we need to seek out the solutions. Whereas negative thinking, a problem-seeking mindset, can be detrimental. By cultivating a positive mindset, one tends to view others in a favorable light, treating them with kindness and respect. The positive outlook promotes harmonious relationships as it encourages individuals to avoid arguments and actively seek reconciliation within marriages, families, and other social connections. Let's say, for example, you've had a problem with somebody in the family. And if you had a mind that was driven towards a solution, subhanallah, this advice will beautifully fit. Be the solution, not the problem, or don't cause the problem. Meaning, if there has been some distaste between you and the other family members, then the way is to reconcile. Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they also at one point, they had some disagreements. Alhamdulillah, they reconciled as brothers, subhanallah. And they were positively looking forward to it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not want to be the first one because he said, I heard from the beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one to apologize first and to reconcile first will be the first to enter Jannah. And I don't want to enter before my elder brother who is Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, look at the mindset. Looking out for one another, having others' best interests at heart, that is positive thinking. But if you are one of those people who wish the fall of others that falls in the category of hasad and having jealousy, and that is a sin. Envy, jealousy. Let's remove these evil qualities. That's what brings in the negative energy and the negative mindset, the problem-seeking behavior. We must have seen people in our societies, in our communities, there must be that someone who likes to see people fight. When two people are fighting, they will stand and watch. They are the problem-seeking people. We should, inshallah, try our utmost best to reform them, to try to knock some sense into them, inshallah, azza wa jal. Tell them about the dangers of these kind of things, putting fights in between two brothers, between brothers and sisters, between the spouses. Allahu Akbar. This is not the kind of behavior that is encouraged in Islam, but Islam encourages peace and harmony, subhanallah. A peaceful communal living between your partner, between your siblings, between parents and children, between other family members, neighbors, the society at large, subhanallah. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, how should a Muslim feel towards others? How should he behave towards others? And he says, Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. Meaning, a Muslim is that person from whose hand and from whose tongue other Muslims are safe. That should be our behavior. And if there is an issue, alhamdulillah, if it's within our control, within our grasp to mend, to fix, we must be the first one to seek for a solution. If it involves counseling, go for counseling. If it involves you are asking somebody for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. If it involves you becoming the person to be the first one to go and make salam and start the conversation, by all means, seek these solutions, subhanallah. You know, there are different types of people. One type of a person would be that if there is a problem, he's confident. And then you get other types of people who are, instead of being optimistic, they are pessimistic. Always thinking of what could go wrong. And realistically speaking, there are thousands of things that can go wrong. But we are commanded to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are commanded to believe in the destiny, in the taqdeer. We are commanded to be on the positive side of things, subhanallah. By doing this, we can be that person who brings in a solution and not cause further problems. When it comes to this kind of thinking, there's a beautiful hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he narrates the parable of a person in the time of Bani Israel. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, and who reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was a person before you who killed 99 people and then made an inquiry about the learned persons of the world who could show him the way to salvation. And then upon inquiry, he was directed towards a monk. Look at this person's mindset. When his mindset shifted towards the positive approach, he was looking to repent. He was seeking a solution, subhanallah. What is the solution for the one who has committed crimes, who has committed sins? The solution is to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. And that is the solution he was seeking. That who is that person that could guide me, that after committing 99 murders, that there must be somebody who could guide me towards the solution so I can be forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if we tend to think that I'm such a loser, I'm such a sinner, I've committed thousands of sins. Yes, that is true. But Allah's forgiveness, Allahu Akbar. all the piles of mountainous sins, even if our sins reach the peak of a mountain, even if our sins are as many as the bubbles in the ocean, Allah's forgiveness is more vast than our sins. Subhanallah, Allah's mercy exceeds the amount of our sins. Subhanallah. Therefore, we need to have the positive mindset that there is forgiveness for me, inshallah, azza wa jal. We could truly and sincerely repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be forgiven by the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. And this person was looking for a solution to be forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given the address of a monk. He came to him and told him, he actually confessed that he had killed 99 people and asked him whether there was any scope for his repentance to be accepted. You know what the monk said? He said, no. Here a person comes seeking a solution. And instead of the monk giving him a solution, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is all forgiving, you can go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent sincerely, and there is nothing that cannot be forgiven by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla if he wills. Subhanallah. But this monk, on the other hand, chose the problematic approach. He said, no, forgiveness for you? No. And when he failed to provide a solution and increased his problem even further, this person is optimistic that he can be forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His tawbah can be accepted. And here the other person discourages him. No, your tawbah can't be accepted. So what the person did, the one who had committed 99 murders, he completed the number 100 and he killed the monk as well. He then asked about the learned personalities on the earth, and he was directed to a scholar who told him that there is a solution. He went to the scholar and he confessed that he had killed 100 people and asked him whether there was any scope for his repentance to be accepted. The scholar this time, he was solution driven. So he said, yes. What stands between you and the repentance? Allahu Akbar. He's being optimistic. You better go to such and such land. There are people devoted to worship, to prayer, and worship there. And you must also worship along with them. And do not come to the land of yours, since it was an evil land for you. So he went, he gave him the solution, subhanallah. Go seek the company of the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are engaged in the worship of Allah. Go join them. So he went away. And he had hardly covered half the distance when the angels came. The angel of death came, and there was a dispute between the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment. His soul was taken away. He died on his way. When he just reached about halfway the distance, then the angels of mercy, angel of punishment, they both came. The angels of mercy said, this man has come as a repentant and as a taib, and he's remorseful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the angels of punishment, they said, he has done no good at all. Then there came another angel in the form of a human in order to decide between them. He said, you must measure the land to which he has drawn near. And they measured it and found him nearer to the land where he intended to go, meaning the land of his salvation, the land where he was supposed to go and join in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the other people, pious people that were engaged in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angels of mercy took possession of him. Allahu Akbar. Because he was nearer to the land of those pious people. Sayyidina Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Sayyidina Hassan told him, it was said to them that as death approached him, he crawled upon his chest and managed to slip in the land of mercy. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That he provides mercy for those in need of it, in search for it. So be that person who's on the lookout for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a solution of our problem, of our sins, instead of being that person, that pessimistic person who says, no, I'm such a sinner, where is forgiveness for a person like me? Let me not even try. If you don't try, how would you know? If you try, there's a chance that you can be forgiven. But if you sit, you know, keeping one hand in the other, and sit and wait, nothing will happen. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. This is a beautiful hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a beautiful parable that teaches us that we must hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasten towards that beautiful solution that will rid us of all the evil of the sins. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has reported a beautiful hadith where the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there were two men among Bani Israel who loved one another. One of them engaged ardently in worship, meaning he was a pious person, and the other person called himself a sinner. The person who was a pious person, he said to his friend who was a sinner, that refrain from what you are doing. And the other would reply, his friend would reply, leave me alone with my Lord. Subhanallah. One day, the pious person found his friend committing a sin which he considered serious and said, refrain. To which he replied, leave me alone with my Lord. Were you sent to watch over me? Allahu Akbar. He then said, the pious person, I swear by God that Allah will never pardon you, nor will He bring you into paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal then sent to them an angel who took their spirits, and they came together into His presence. To the sinner He said, enter paradise by my mercy. And to the other person who was pious, who was rebuking this person and making him lose hope, to him He said, can you forbid my mercy to my servant? Allahu Akbar. He replied, no, my Lord. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, take him away to hell. Why? Because he stood in the way of that person attaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to put a stop to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal? Allahu Akbar. Therefore, we should be those who make others happy, who console others, not frighten others. Now, there are times when we go into a frenzy. That is not the appropriate reaction when we are struck by a calamity or a problem. But we must be solution driven. If I'm a sinner, which I am, I must look for a solution to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, forgive me. Tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah. Make tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is that detergent, this is that cleaning agent that will shine our hearts and remove all the filth, all the darkness of the sins. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. We need to be the solution, not the problem. As much as encouraging and reassuring others is the positive approach to tackling problems and overcoming discouragement, only ever has an adverse impact and inflicts social and psychological harms such as hopelessness. When we are negatively minded, programmed negatively, then at every little situation, we are going to lose hope. Inferiority complex will kick in. Oh, who am I to embark on such a great task? Depression will kick in if you start ruminating over the problem and not look for a solution. Anxiety will kick in. Stress levels will skyrocket. And then we'll see ourselves in a frenzy, losing our mind. There's a lot of mental issues in today's world where we live in. You go to the hospitals where there are psychological psych patients. There is a long queue. Why? Because we have lost the positive mindset and are harboring on the problems. And there comes a time when the mind and the brain goes into a loop when it can't see no light. Fear of failure. I mean, our teachers when we were little, they would give us the example of an ant. You know, the ant is small compared to us. It is such a small, tiny creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the determination of that ant. If we have the fear of failure or we see a problem with everything, no, I can't do this. This is beyond me. I'm not capable of doing this, undertaking such a great task. Whereas the ant, being an insignificant creature by size, it will take upon that task. It will take a grain larger than itself, climb the wall, it will fall down. Or the grain will slip away. It will come again, try again. Again and again, this process will repeat itself. And finally, that ant manages to take that grain and manages to go to its place of residence and share that meal with the family and the loved ones. Are we insignificant in power, in ability than those ants? Those ants that are there, they take grains bigger than themselves and carry it. Though they fail many times, many failed attempts, but they don't give up. But we, let's say for example, you're a student. You have failed many times. You are going for a driver's test. You have failed many times. You are trying to complete your matric. You have failed many times. And there are students, the statistics, they prove that there comes a time when they lose hope. And that becomes the cause of them committing suicide. Why? Because the positive outlook is not there. Have the positive outlook that inshallah, if not this time, I will try harder the next time. Okay, next time you failed, no problem. There is a third time. Allahu Akbar. There have been those pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have made tawbah numerous times in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after years, their tawbah was finally accepted. Allahu Akbar. We may try to please Allah Azza wa Jal, read our salah, keep our fast for years. And for all we know, it's not being accepted. But there comes a time when we are consistent, when we are persistent in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There comes a time when our ibadat is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, it takes a bit of time. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. So if you are solution driven, if you have a mind that is driven towards the solution, finding solution for the problems, inshallah, you will shine bright. Why? Because you don't have the negative mindset. You have an advantage with you, which many of us don't have. You know, in the companies, who stays on the highest position in a company, in a corporate world, in business culture? Who stays at the highest position? The person who has the most amount of solution for the problems. Who can solve biggest problems that are there in the company, that are there in the work environment. There is a reason that person has been put there on the high position. Why? Because he is solution driven. If he may have 100 employees under him and each one goes and reports a problem to him, he'll give you the solution, all right? You've got this problem, no problem, inshallah. We'll work for a solution. We'll work together and find a solution for the problem. As opposed to those who see problem with everything, and those kinds of people, they don't prosper in life. because they see problem with everything. How are you going to thrive and prosper if you can only see problem, if you can't see past your nose, as they say? So inshallah azza wa jal, broaden your horizon. If there is a disease, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah azza wa jal did not create a disease, but together with that disease he has created its treatment, its cure. Subhanallah. Like that, with every problem, with every difficulty, there is ease. Allah azza wa jal says in the glorious Quran, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that indeed with every difficulty there is ease. Indeed with every difficulty there is ease. Subhanallah. Ghawsi Azam, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah ta'ala, when he would be faced with immense difficulty in his life, when he would go through the hardships of life, he would crawl on the floor and would recite this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran to console his heart. Allahu Akbar. Why can't we have that mindset? We shouldn't be the one to discourage people. We should be the one to provide a solution. Look for a solution. Find a solution together. The one we discourage will be reluctant. If you try and talk somebody out of something that could be a solution for that person, we discourage people, that person will be reluctant to approach you in the future and will not share his problems with you. He may be your loved ones, but they will be distant from you. Why? Because you have a negative outlook on life. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reported that the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make things easy and do not make them difficult. Make people calm and do not scare them. Allahu Akbar. Such a beautiful advice by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to problems that we face, we all face problems, we all face difficulty. This is part of life. And life happens to every one of us. You cannot say that you do not have a single problem in life. Neither can I say it. Nor can anyone else say it. But what we lack is our response. How do we treat the matter? How do we respond to the problem, to the situation? Therein we all differ. People are three types. And our approach to dealing with times of difficulty, dealing with problems, can vary. One group of people are those who do not get worried. They don't go into a frenzy. Oh, there is a problem. Now they lose hope. No, they are not such people. Okay, there's a problem. No problem, inshallah, azza wa jal. And they are not nervous, but rather, the moment they are informed or they encountered that problem, their mind went into a spiral, looking for a solution. As soon as the problem comes, they are already seeking a solution for it. They control their nerves and with courage and bravery, and overcome the difficulty. Subhanallah. This is one kind of people. The second kind of people you get, who get frightened and get worried at every little difficulty. And they are moderately afraid, thinking of what will transpire. They are in a state of confusion. In this manner, such people create further problems for themselves. Yes. When you don't know how to deal with a problem, you will create further problems for yourselves. You know, in haste or in the frenzy of this difficulty or problem that you are faced with, you would take certain steps which will worsen the situation. The nature of some of these people is like a rabbit who screamed in the jungle and began shouting, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Other animals of the jungle, they said, there is no sky falling. They looked up. The sky is in its place. What had happened to this rabbit? A fruit from a tree had fallen on his head and he thought the sky was falling. Allahu Akbar. So let's not become like those people who at every little situation, they lose their mind, they lose their cool. And then there is a third category of people. These are those that are chronically frightened. They have lost hope. They have gone into a state of depression. And it may get worse. At times they end up experiencing severe medical problems such as having a heart attack because they can't take it anymore. Or having a high blood pressure, their blood pressure skyrockets, which causes serious hindrance. They can have a brain hemorrhage. Some may even resort to having despair and commit suicide. And this happens. And an act that is forbidden, meaning committing suicide, is forbidden in Islam and leads one to the hellfire. But yet, people do commit suicide. The rate at which suicides are committed, it is only rising. This is before our own eyes. We cannot look the other way and say there is no problem. No, we live in this world, we face these situations. And if we know that the people, there are various different types of people who take problems and respond to the issues in a different light. And then there are problems themselves. Sometimes the problem could be such that we could do something about it. Meaning it is within your control to look for a solution and to fix it. But then there are times when the problem is beyond our control. What do we do then? The first type of problem is where the solution or alternative, for example, can be available. For example, somebody fell into the mud. He can go and wash his clothes, that's the solution. Somebody got a tire puncture, you're driving, tire is punctured, okay, fair enough. You can't drive anymore. You can either push your car, if you don't have a spare wheel, you can either push your car or have people help you. If it's a bike, you can push it all the way to the mechanic where you can go and fix the puncture. For example, you lost your job. That is not the end of the world. You can apply for another job. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you better than what you had. And then these are the situations you can think of in your own scenario, inshallah azza wa jal. What are the things where you know you can go make a difference, you can fix the situation. Then there are situations where we can't really help it. That is beyond our control, such as the demise and the death of loved ones in the family. Somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's spouse, somebody's parents have passed on. It is tragic. And maybe you lost your belongings. Maybe the flood came, washed away all your assets and belongings. Your house got destroyed. Now, in these matters, actions are required in order to address this type of calamities and difficulties. Those actions may not be a solution to bring back those losses that we have incurred. We can't bring dead back to life. We can't make things out of the blue. Meaning if we have lost our assets, you lost all your money, it's gone. Your house got burnt, it's gone. Your assets, your belongings got washed away in a flood, it's gone. Never to come back. But then, how do we take it? These serious situations and difficulties. There are various ways of dealing with this kind of problems. Instead of ruminating over it, one thing we know for sure that it is beyond our control. So there is nothing you can do about it, but what we can do is exercise self-control. Don't let it go out of your hand. Don't now go into a loop where you are fixated on the issue. Oh, I've lost everything. Now what? there is always a light, there is always hope. Allah Azza wa Jal, who has you, to whom belong everything, it is certain that the tranquility of the heart is in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you find your heart racing, if you find your heart is drowning, it is time to turn to Allah. We may not have a solution for it, but Allah Azza wa Jal definitely has a solution and a way out for everything. One who fears Allah. This is the teachings of the Holy Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal creates a way out for them. Allahu Akbar. And when we lose something, instead of losing our mind over it, in Islam we are taught the beautiful way of saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and only to Him we are to return. In this way we are consoling our heart. Yes, if we lost something, it didn't belong to us. It always belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is gone. And we also belong to Allah. And to Allah one day we shall also return. Mentioning the virtues of doing so, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever recites, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, at the time of difficulty, Allah azza wa jal will remove his difficulty. Produce a positive outcome and grant a replacement with which he is pleased. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Some difficulties are imminent. And Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes can test us by inflicting some difficulties upon us, some hardships upon us, as the Holy Quran mentions it. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And we will definitely test you with some fear and hunger, and with some deficiency of wealth, lives and fruits, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. Subhanallah, patience is the key. The events of destiny, if you want more motivation to deal, various different ways of dealing with those issues that are beyond our control, there is hope. And as Muslims, we are to believe in the destiny, in Qadr. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has diverted our mind to focus our attention to the fact that what's bound to happen will happen. He says that a person cannot be a believer until he believes in destiny, it's good and it's bad. And until he believes that whatever calamity is to befall him will not avert him, and whatever is to avert him will not befall him. Subhanallah. This is so clear. Yes. Become those that believe in the destiny. And then there are other solutions that are given, Islamic solutions, alhamdulillah. That no matter how big your problem may be, how great your difficulty may be, one day it will come to an end. Because it's a phase. If you have a joyous occasion, joyous moment in your life, does it last forever? It doesn't. Similarly, if you have an adverse situation, if you have a hardship, you are going through a hardship in life, it will not be there forever. Everything has its expiry date. And your sorrows, your difficulties, your hardships, they also have an expiry date. Inshallah, if it's here, it will pass, and there will come a time when you'll forget all about it and you'll be joyously smiling, subhanallah. We need to take responsibilities for our actions. This is the moment when we catch ourselves, our hearts are drowning and we are losing hope. We must take responsibility of ourselves. Do those things that gives you hope. Engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stretch your hand out in the court of Allah. Oh Allah, you are the one that can change my situation. You are the one who can relieve me of my pain and suffering. Oh Allah, grant me ease. Ameen bijahin nabiyil amin. And then you will see the light of it. You will see hope, the candle of hope rekindled in your heart, inshallah azza wa jal. And then, no matter how big the problem is, you will be able to face it head on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the positive mindset and to be solution driven and not to be a person who is driven towards problems, who is pessimistic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so optimistic. And in his seerah, we are taught a lesson, a great lesson, at the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Taif, he was stoned by those people. He went to propagate the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the way people treated him, what he got in return was stones. They were pelting stones at him. They put children and insane people behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to further insult him. The angel of mountain was appointed from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. He came and sought the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you wish, I'm waiting for your command. I can crush this entire area of Taif, these people who have caused you pain and suffering, who have caused your blessed body to bleed. I can crush them between these two mountains. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his response and his optimism. He said, no, I hope that one day Allah Azza wa Jal, from their own, those people who are pelting stones at me, from their own generation, from their own offspring, Allah Azza wa Jal will create those nations, those people who will bring iman on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Look at the optimism of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we have that optimism within us as his ummah? I mean, what would be our response in situations like this? We would be cursing one way, non-stop. But the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes dua. In the battle of Uhud, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is injured severely. And he makes dua. Allahumma hdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, guide my nation, for they do not know me. This is how positive was the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our master. We as his ummah need to follow and tread into his footsteps. And that is the success for our life in this world and the hereafter. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. We have got our segment for today, Alhamdulillah, where we introduced a beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina. And the segment is beautifully named, To Succeed, You Must Read. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Let's move towards our segment. But before that, we are going to listen to a beautiful clip and nasiha, Manners of Sneezing. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we are going to be back and discuss our publication for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah's last prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, Allah likes sneezing. Sneeze is also called al-atsah in the Arabic language. Sneezing is a good thing. It clears the mind and refreshes the body. The first person to sneeze was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. When he sneezed, he recited, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah Almighty responded, I have created you for my praise. When you sneeze, keep these things in mind. Cover your mouth with a cloth or your hand. Try to make the sound as low as possible because raising your voice during a sneeze is not a good practice. While sneezing, also be cautious that the droplets from your mouth or nose do not fall on someone else. After sneezing, say Alhamdulillah or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. If someone else sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, respond with Yarhamukallah, meaning may Allah have mercy on you. It is stated in Mira'atul Manaji, volume 6, page 316, that when someone sneezes and says, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, and runs the tongue all over the teeth, inshallah, he will be protected from dental diseases. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to you viewers. Alhamdulillah, we were listening to this beautiful clip and nasiha about the manners of sneezing, subhanallah. And please adhere to it and try to practice more and more sunnahs of the beloved Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Jahin Nabil, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our endeavors. In today's segment, we are going to discuss the publication of Maktabatul Madina, the accounts of Imam Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala. In this regard, it is mentioned on page 2 of this book, the greatness of Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu. Once in a gathering of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, personalities of the greatest lineage and honor were being mentioned in the presence of the grandson of the beloved messenger Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, do you people know who is the most honorable in respect of his parents, paternal grandfather, paternal grandmother, paternal grandfather, maternal grandmother, maternal aunt, and maternal uncle? Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked. So people replied, you know better than us. After hearing this, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu took hold of Imam Hussein's blessed hand and said, this is the most honorable personality. His father is Sayyidina Ali Mushkil Kusha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His noble mother is Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His maternal grandfather is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. And his maternal grandmother is Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. His paternal uncle is Sayyidina Jafar Tayyar radiyallahu anha. And his paternal aunt is Sayyida Hala bint Abu Talib. His maternal uncle is Sayyidina Qasim radiyallahu anha, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his maternal aunt is Sayyida Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have related the absolute truth, acknowledged the people. Allahu Akbar. Such was the grandeur of Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, narrated by none other than Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah azza wa jal, with this, let's conclude our today's episode and program with the recitation of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.